I'm joined in studio by Mr. Eddie Bone, and you're very, very welcome, Eddie.
Thank you very much. Good
morning. Eddie is a presenter with DCTV, am I right?
Yeah.
And you're here, you're telling us about a new series that you started on DCTV and is in connection, or is all about the days of pirate radio in Ireland, in particular in Dublin, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's called Dublin's Pirate Days. I was lecturing early in the year, lecturing on the history of Irish broadcasting, and a student asked me about 1988 and the close downs. And when I had finished the lecture, I just sat in the hall, and I didn't realise, maybe because I'm getting a little bit old, that it was 25 years ago. This is the 25th anniversary this December.
Now, when you say you're getting a little bit old, you must remember this is radio and not television. I have to point out to our listeners that you're not exactly very decrepit sitting opposite me. You're what, in your
50s?
In your 50s, but keep that, we'll keep that quiet. We won't tell anybody. But sorry, I interrupted you. Go on.
So I assumed that somebody would be commemorating the event that closed down on the pirates, and I had a look around and I spoke to a few people and nobody was actually commemorating it, so I started to put a project together, and I went to DCTV and they very kindly gave me the studio time and the resources to make a six-part series
called Dublin Pirate Days, which actually premiered last night as the first episode.
And sorry, just speaking about pirate radio and all things broadcasting, I just realised that your microphone wasn't turned on there, so so I have to apologise. And as I said, it's my first day back from holidays, so it's amazing somebody didn't rush in.
I was probably heard in Florida.
You were probably heard in Florida, but it's amazing that somebody didn't rush in and point that out to me. So look, we'll briefly go through that again. You're with DCTV, you're starting a new series on pirate radio, focusing on pirate radio in Dublin. And when does it go out, Eddie?
The first episode went out last night at 7 o'clock. If you want to see it again, you can find it on the DCTV channel at Vimeo. And the second episode will be 7 o'clock on Friday, and then subsequent Fridays after that, 7 o'clock.
So if I want to watch it on 7 o'clock on Friday and I'm in Dublin, what do I do?
You tune in to UPC channel 802, which is DCTV's channel, or you can get them through, if you're watching on the pad or your laptop, you'll find that AirTV, you can find their channel.
Tell us, what happened to pirate radio? I mean, just can you give us a brief synopsis? Why did it end? Why did it start, first and foremost?
Well, it started basically because of RTE's monopoly, that there was no choice. The younger generation that were coming through the 60s had a little bit of choice by getting the transistor radio and tuning in to Caroline in the North Sea.
Yeah.
Or perhaps Radio Luxembourg, but, you know, there was nothing in Dublin. It was illegal. And then we had a few in the early 70s, to late 70s, a few hobby stations, fellas in their back gardens, bedrooms, an aerial hung out between lampposts, you know, hobby stuff, a couple of hours
because
on a Sunday.
When I look around here now, if anybody wants to tune in, they can get us on the webcam on your FM website. But, you know, I'm surrounded by computers and sound desks and buttons that go up and down
this
and stuff.
Plush.
This is plush. Is it? What do you actually need to set up a radio station?
Basically a transmitter. It's as simple as that. If you can, and it was in the early days, they were homemade, home-built. I remember seeing a transmitter built in an old USA biscuit tin box, and the reason it was built in that, it was easily dismantled if there was a raid, and was literally dumped out a window so it wouldn't be taken by the authorities. They could, the mixing desks, or there was no mixing desk, it was basically just two turntables.
Yeah.
And it was linked to a transmitter, and an aerial was hung out the window, and you were on the air.
And how did these people make money, or did they?
They didn't. In not many cases, it was obviously hijacking the electricity of the person next door.
But then when the Pirate Days ended...
Well, they didn't really end. What happened was the law, there was a loophole found in the 1926 legislation, and there was a lack of political inactivity to try and close that loophole, and commercial interests arrived in the country. Likes of Chris Carey, who set up Radio Nova in 1981, and they literally in Dublin became the station. They, you know, their audience share was way higher than RTE's, and their advertising revenue was way higher.
Why is that? I mean, surely
it was basically the lax law. The government at the time in the early 80s, there was a number of changes, successive changes in government. There was no coherent policy. RTE were putting pressure on the government to make the changes to close the pirates, but no government really wanted to alienate the young people who were listening in their thousands to the pirate radio
stations. Is that why RTE then responded with RTE2 or 2FM?
2FM started in the late 70s. Again, that was a reaction to the earlier pirates, the likes of the Radio Dublins, the ARD, the Big D's. Mm. 2FM was set up to give an outlet to pop music. In the early 70s, the only pop music on RTE, one channel, was Larry Gogan on a Sunday afternoon. And 2 hours of pop music, and that's all the young people got. Hence the rise in the pirates. The late 70s, they become a little bit more bold, longer hours, an actual schedule, a playlist. You know, they came out of the shadows almost. Mm. But they were still technically illegal pirate radio stations.
But then you had people who went from the pirates into mainstream broadcasting. Yeah, Jerry Ryan, I think.
Oh, Jerry, they're still on air today. I mean, you can look across television and radio, and perhaps 50% of those on television and radio today have come from the pirate era. Likes of Brian Dobson, RTE Newsreader, Radio Nova.
It's hard to think when you look at
Mark Cagney, Anne Casson, Aidan Cooney, Martin King, Dave Fanning, the late Jerry Ryan. All these people came through pirate radio, had learned their skills through pirate radio, and then moved on to radio itself through the legal version, and many of them succeeded to go on television. Even Marty Whelan, who was once known as Marty Hall on the air.
Now, Eddie, you told me off air there, you lecture in broadcasting history.
Yeah, and the history of Irish broadcasting, not just broadcasting history. It's a hugely fascinating subject, and I've recently been lecturing on the similarities, I'd say, between 1930s broadcasting in Ireland and the 1980s broadcasting in Ireland. They're like a mirror image. You may think that nothing happened in the 1930s, but it was start of commercial radio. If you, on the air, if you say, I'm going to plug something, like an advertising, that came through a man called Leonard Plug, who created the sponsored programmes on Radio Éireann. The likes of the Waltons programmes and things like that. So that's the Irish sweepstakes programmes, that's where that started. And that's where that phrase came from, to plug something. He was the first commercial person. In the 1930s, the BBC set up transmitters to mask RTE's broadcasts, because RTE wouldn't put all their stations onto one frequency. So to stop the Germans using the signals, the BBC set up transmitters across England to rebroadcast RTE's signal across England, and it caused uproar because of the sponsored programmes that RTE were carrying.
I get you. And that, of course, was 2RN, am I right?
It was Radio Éireann by the mid-70s, mid-30s. Yeah. 1937, it went from 2RN to Radio Éireann, basically when Athlone, the main transmitter in Athlone, opened in 1933.
And am I right in saying that the RN was short for Éireann?
It's clouded in mystery. Most of the stations, like in England, was 2LO.
Yeah.
It may have referred to 2LO being London. It was 2MT in Manchester. But basically, the British Post Office, who was in control of the British Postmaster General, who was in charge at the time of giving out call signs, basically assigned 2RN at the will of a hat. Yeah. But, you know, we associate as 2RN coming back to Ireland, coming back to Ireland.
Eddie, going slightly off the subject now of pirate radios, but Section 31 of the Broadcasting Act.
Yes.
Can you briefly explain to us what it was?
Section 31 was basically a mechanism that the government used to prevent paramilitary spokesmen from appearing on air. That was the basis of it.
Of course, the most obvious.
It was enforced by Conor Cruise O'Brien, who was then Minister for Post and Telegraphs.
Yeah, and of course, the most obvious casualty of that, or most obvious person to be affected by that, was President of Sinn Féin, Gerry Adams.
Gerry Adams, yeah. It had a lot of consequences over the years, including in 1972, again, a person who interviewed, and it's part of the show, Declan Meehan, who's at East Coast, he was involved in a station called Radio Melinda. And in 1972, Kevin O'Kelly, who was an RT reporter, interviewed Sean McStiffon, who was a member of the official IRA. The government wanted to know how he got in contact with him, where they could find him. He refused to give out his confidential information. The RT authority were basically sacked over it, and RT went on strike in December 1972. Which meant that the only station for Dublin listeners to listen to was a pirate station called Radio Melinda. This was, again, part of the Section 31. This was trying to you know, the government were didn't want to be usurped by these paramilitary organisations and spokesmen. Mm. Then the government, again, having realised this, immediately raided Radio Melinda, and Declan Meehan said that they came in so heavy-handed into the building to raid the station that even the postman was arrested. He was just delivering post to the building and he got arrested and was taken to the station. But Section 31, a lot of the stations, the main stations, including RTE and especially Channel 4 in England, where there was basically a similar law where the paramilitaries weren't allowed to have spokesmen on air, sidestepped the law by the likes of Gerry Adams, was able to be interviewed, but his voice wasn't to be heard.
From what I gather, it was Stephen Ray, the actor,
the actors,
who did Gerry Adams' voice.
A number of actors,
yeah.
And some actors were just mimics, and it was farcical. Like, I remember Channel 4 interview, and they actually employed a impressionist, and it was like, you kind of sitting there, well, what's the point? But again, that was the television station showing the government, what's the point? But it was a different time.
But there were silly occasions. For example, I think Gay Byrne interviewed a lady whose husband was a Sinn Féin councillor, but he was interviewing her about about vegetables, the price of vegetables,
or
something. But Eddie, to go back to your own programme on DCTV, how is it set up? How many episodes do we have?
We have six episodes.
Excuse me.
We have basically, we're working on two interviews per episode. Episode one went out last night, which had Mike Purcell, who's at Dublin South Community Radio, and I'd done a piece on the history of pirate television in Ireland. So that was the first episode. Episode two on Friday night has the great Radio Dublin DJ Tracy Evans.
Nice.
Who comes into us, and Martin Block, who was the head of 4FM. After that, we have Declan Meehan, we have Aidan Cooney, Andy Preston from FM 104, Gav Rigby from Spirit, Walter Hegarty, Paul Shepherd, all coming in. Basically, you know, a lot of the anecdotes about what went on in 1988, a lot of them were on air when the stations closed. It was an emotional time for them. It was the end of a broadcasting revolution. Mm. It was a revolution in the 80s. It was the end of an evolution. They didn't know what was going to happen. It was 6 months before Capital Radio, what is FM 104, went on air. So it was an unusual time for them. They were emotional, saying goodbye to their listeners who they had built up loyally over the 1980s. And the next thing, they were gone. I remember setting up around the house.
So, Eddie, sorry, I'm just giving 9 o'clock here. We have, next episode, you have
Friday night, which is Tracy Evans and Martin Block, and then the following Friday night is a special with just Declan Meehan.